It's time for the Fin Addicts Miami Dolphins podcast on the Fin Addicts Network.
Everybody, Jason Sarni here. Welcome to another edition of the Fin Addicts Network podcast. We got a terrific show here this evening. And before we bring in our very special guest, a South Florida media celebrity, very quick news update. We have a Curtis Weaver wave situation. The injured rookie, per Cameron Wolf today was, unfortunately cut and waved. And we'll see what happens, how that materializes, get that out of the way. But now we are going to bring in our very special guest, a co-host of the Joe Rose Show on 560 AM in South Florida with Zach Krantz, of course. It is the legendary Zach Krantz. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. Thank you for having me on. Glad to be with you. Glad to be talking football. Glad to be talking Dolphin football. Glad to be talking any kind. It could be two-hand touch football outside at this point. I'm happy to be talking about it.
Let's bring on the football. You also have a show in and of itself called Krantz's Corner, and we'll do all the fun housekeeping. You'll let everybody know where we could find you.
Sure.
All of that fun stuff. But without further ado, let's really start touching on the Dolphins training camp and what you know. But before we bring in some of our co-hosts, and Brian Byrne and Drew Welsh, you know, I want you to kind of let us know and let the audience know out there, what's your level of firsthand or secondhand knowledge? Is there media tiers, or what are you guys kind of getting privy to here?
To be honest with you, it is unlike, of course, any other camp that's ever been. There are media members that aren't out there. I am not one of them. I have not, I haven't really asked to be out there. So maybe if I asked, maybe there'd be something there. I haven't. I've just kind of stayed away. Me and Joe normally, for as long as I've been with Joe, whether executive producer or now co-host on the show, we broadcasted live from training camp almost every single day of camp, whether even it started a little bit later, a little bit earlier, depending on the coach. Sometimes it was an early start. I know with Flores, it's a little bit later, 9 or 10 a.m. when they kind of start. But yeah, the what you're privy to, you could see everything that happens at camp, but you can't report on any of it until the Dolphins report on it, which is an interesting kind of dynamic, because if you look around the rest of the NFL, certain teams are sticking to that kind of protocol. Other teams aren't. I mean, the other day, live on our show in the morning, I stopped Joe mid-sentence and said, I just read a tweet from the New York Jets official Twitter that 3 days a week, they're going to be broadcasting the practice live. And I was just like, wow, that is the complete opposite of the Dolphins. Armando and Omar and Beasley and all the guys that we all know covering the Dolphins on a daily basis, they can't tweet out a picture till practice is over. They can't. A guy could go down. Now, listen, you don't ever want to see a guy go down. And I know I just heard the Weaver news from you, and there's a big story to that, I'm sure. But the day Ryan Tannehill went down, me and Joe were live on the air, and you could hear it when I'm saying something, and Joe just goes, oh no, like Joe just screamed out, oh no, live on the air. And yeah, that happens during camp where something, a guy blows out his knee, a guy twists his ankle, a guy gets really, really hurt, and it's live reporting. It's us on the air. It's Omar on Twitter. It's Armando on Twitter. Now it's kind of, you get the news when they want you to get the news. It's interesting. So what we're privy to is they get to see everything, but they don't get to report it until after kind of the team reports, this is what happened in practice, here's the video, here are the notes. It's an interesting dynamic, but I can't complain because, like we started, before we even started this, football's back. So, like, you know what? You could be as unexcited as you want to be during practice because you're worried about what's going to happen. As long as I get the notes, the news, and, like, today, when you hear about a certain quarterback having his best day of camp, that also makes me smile pretty much.
I wanted to lead with that, Zach, just because I know that you guys usually do the show from training camp, and I don't know if everybody fully understands that there's only about 8 or 9 people that are actually getting to see this outside of the organization. And I wasn't sure. I know, like, you and Joe this morning were talking about how big Raekwon Davis was, so I was unsure on you know, like if you guys got to be part of practice.
Joe's seen him. I haven't. Joe said he's a mammoth of a man, and he doesn't use those terms very easy. You know, it's not very easy where he says that. Usually we use it for like the Brian McKinney's of the world, you know, the 6'7", 6'9", tackles. So if Joe came back after seeing this dude and said he's a mammoth of a man and someone, you know, I guess he's listed 6'7", 330, 335, that's a big dude. So hopefully it does work out because you need big dudes like that in today's NFL. You need at least one of them. I miss the days of Paul Solei, of just having that dude in the middle. No one could get past him. The guard and the center had to block him. So yeah, I hope Raekwon's that guy. I have not seen him. I have literally, the only person I have seen either new to the team or rookie on the team is the day during Radio Row, Super Bowl Radio Row, when I totally stalked Tua just to get a picture with him, and I finally got it, and that was it. That's the only guy I've met or seen new to the Dolphins team.
Just so everybody knows, I start my morning every day with the Joe Rowe Show. I live in Albany, New York. So you can do that if you don't live in South Florida. It is on radio.com. Sometimes I also go back and I get it on Apple iTunes and listen to the podcast. You know, some of the stories you need to hear 2 to 3 times. Or if I get you know, pulled into work early, sometimes I have to listen to the podcast. But it is available on radio.com to stream live, and definitely the best way to start your morning. But Zach, before we talk any more football, I do have to ask you, is there a preference? Is there a place in Miami and South Florida, if I come visit, that a strip club where I have to get a meal at? I know you guys have been talking about that a lot recently.
I mean, so far, I guess the consensus would be you got to go down to Tootsie's and get some, you know, food there. And the fried lobster, I guess, is like the meal there, right? Yeah, like I was shaking my head this morning when someone texted that in. I mean, listen, I've heard years and years ago when I first started on the Joe Rowe Show, of course, when you first get into radio, you make no money. And not that you're making, you know, millions of dollars now. I'm not. You can ask my wife. But I worked, and you guys are all going to laugh at this, I worked at a strip club. I was the night manager at the Dollhouse in Sunny Isles because my dad's friend owned the club. And I was a bouncer up at school in Gainesville. So I came down. I was looking for a part-time job. And he gave me a job as, like, a bouncer, as the night manager. And, I go back there. They didn't have food there, you know, so it was a little different story. But, like, when I hear people going to strip clubs to eat, I kind of laugh at it. When Crowder started doing radio, he used to bring me to this place that we used to get stir-fry from. It was a strip club in Davie. It was stir-fry, I swear, and it was really good. The teriyaki sauce, there was something up with it. I don't know what it was. But it's just weird to me to hear all these stories about eating at strip clubs. But I guess at this point, I haven't tried it yet, and I really can't be true to South Florida if I don't get one of those fried lobsters to go. So I told my wife, I found this new restaurant. Let's just not tell her what it really is.
Yeah, I was actually going
to
ask.
I'm coming as soon as possible for that fried lobster.
Before we get into the nitty gritty, I was going to ask, and I think you might have answered it already, if there was a player, which you don't have to name by name, it could be numeric, that is the connoisseur of the South Florida Gentlemen's Club. Did you already name that man who used to play football for the Dolphins? You did.
Right. A certain linebacker.
I'm not getting anyone in trouble here.
No. And you wouldn't. I would say at that point, there were plenty of times where, we used to do Monday and Friday night shows. Actually, on Monday nights, we used to do a show at a bar, Lefty's Bar in Davie. And every Monday, we'd have a Dolphins player. And this is when, I'm trying to think of some of the players. Rashad was on the team, obviously, back then. It was a lot of Drew Rosenhaus's clients that used to come out and do the shows with us. But during the week, I would tell Crowder, hey, man, let's, you know, show prep for a little while tonight. And he goes, I'll pick you up. We'll go to dinner. I'm like, okay. I don't know where we're going. Down that same street was like the Ale House and Twin Peaks and all these places. And instead of going on the right side of the street, we used to go on the left side of the street. The left side of the street was where the certain adult establishment was that had amazing stir fry. And that's where we would show prep. I'm not complaining. I would tell my wife, and I'm sure he told his wife too. But yes, if I had to mention one person that I thought would be able to give you these certain areas to go to in the adult entertainment scene, it would be Channing Crowder. Right.
This is not for me, but this is great stuff. Thank you, Zach. I'm married.
Screw yeah, that, Jason. We're going to get fried lobster.
That's right. Lobster's fine. Right. Just, wrong. You know, details.
Right.
So what we'll do is we'll talk a little bit about football. And obviously, okay. You know, you alluded to the Twitter picture of Tua. Bravo for getting the shot. And I saw it on Twitter today as you alluded to coming on the show, which is great.
Right.
Three touchdowns today. So obviously, forget about Dan Marino. Talk about Tua.
Listen, at this point, all we could ask for as Dolphin fans was to try to draft a franchise quarterback and that guy turn into something. Yeah, would it be amazing if this was the next Marino? Absolutely. Am I expecting that? Not at all. And not that I'm saying he won't be really good, because I don't know. He comes from Alabama. Alabama quarterbacks, of course, don't have the greatest record in the last decade or two. I mean, we can't go back to Namath and Stabler, that, you know, but that's really going far back. I just hope he is that guy that takes the charge of this team, takes the lead of this team, and ends up being a top-tier quarterback. And when I mean top-tier, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be in the Brady Breeze category while he's in the league when those guys were in their prime, or Mahomes and Lamar. But let him have top 10 quarterback and maybe be that guy that takes you to the playoffs every year. I grew up in the early 80s down here in Miami, where it wasn't, oh, man, I hope we have a playoff team this year. It was, man, I hope we get home field advantage. Right. I hope we could host two games and miss that wild card week. I hope that we could beat the Bills this year, because every year it seems like they're winning the AFC East. Can we get back to that? Could Tua take us back to that? That's what I'm hoping from Tua. I mean, I'm not looking for the next, you know, the resurrection of a Dan Marino type, but it would be nice if we're close to that. And if Tua comes out and in 4 or 5 years, we're talking about a guy that's A, a franchise quarterback, and B, this guy's a top 10 quarterback, maybe a perennial Pro Bowler every year. Isn't that what we could only hope for as fans? And I took my media hat off because I'm a Dolphins fan. I grew up on the Dolphins. I get sad when they're bad. I was pissed off last year in the first couple games of the season. So I was like, this might be the worst team in existence. Not only that, but they might go 0-16, but if they get beat every week like they did by the Ravens and then the Patriots, and then it was Dallas and I think the Chargers the first four games last year. No, I can't handle it as a fan, and as a media member, it's even worse. So what do I want from Tua? I want a perennial Pro Bowl quarterback that doesn't have to be Marino, but has to be Tua, has to be a good player, and keep us all excited every year going into it that we don't have to get another guy at that position. Because I feel like since Marino, every year we're looking for another guy at that position. Who could fill in? Is it Matt Moore? Is it Chad Henne? Is it Chad Pennington? What about Cleo this year? Well, we just drafted Ryan Tannehill. Like, I'm ready to just sit on that position for the next 5 to 7 to 10 years and not worry about it and build around him and see what happens from there. So I'm hoping. I mean, my fingers are crossed, but I'm hoping.
I think we all needed today to have that great practice of three touchdowns. We all got to see the Malcolm Perry 70-yard.
Right.
Beautiful. He didn't have a great day Friday, and we do have those expectations. I promised Twitter that I would wear my overreaction to a jersey on the show tonight. I would still bet money Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't even challenged for the week one job. There's just not enough time for Tua to get there for week one. But Zach, you mentioned that you're not overreacting and wearing your Tua jersey. Why is that?
I'm superstitious. When my wife, every year my wife for my birthday, I don't necessarily want anything. There's not anything I really need. She gives me a gift card to like a place I can get clothes or a pair of shoes, whatever it is. I'm not good. This year, I knew what I wanted for my birthday. After they drafted Tua, I was like, I have a Cam Wake jersey that's fading. You can't even see the one anymore. It's like W-A-K in the back. Like, I needed a new jersey, and I've been waiting for someone to buy a jersey for. Honestly, I would have bought a Minka Fitzpatrick jersey if he didn't, you know, be a crybaby and leave for Pittsburgh. I would have bought that. I'm not going to buy a Tunsil jersey when he was, like, kind of the guy on the team, because offensive linemen, it just never works out like that either. But the day Tua was drafted, I said to my wife, I know what I want. It's a Tua jersey. I need a new jersey. I can't wait. Now, I also promised myself, and I think I said it on the show also, I won't wear it until we find out he's the starter that week. And if it's not this year, I will literally have that jersey hanging in my closet all season long if I have to. But the minute he gets announced starter, week 6, week 7, week 12, the week 17, whatever it is, I will brandish it. I almost put it on tonight and ruined it, my superstition. And then I see you wearing yours, and I'm like, you know what? I'm glad I didn't. I have a good story behind it. I don't want to do that yet, even if it's his best day at camp so far. But I will be waiting until Brian Flores or somebody from that team leaks it out that this week's going to be Tua. I wear a jersey every Friday for Football Friday on the radio, even though you can't see it. That first time he's starting, that Football Friday, whether that jersey's tight on me from the extra COVID 15, 19 I put on or not, I will wear that jersey. That's for sure.
We need a reveal when it happens.
Right.
We want to have you on. If you can dedicate that to us, we'll, you know.
Done. That's done.
Love it.
I think when that's it. Announced like midweek, I'll like drive home from work, get my Tua jersey and wear it for the rest of the day. Because it'll probably happen on like a Thursday.
Special podcast that night.
Yeah.
Whether you guys have done one for the week or not, even if it's only a 10-minute podcast, the entire time I'll be pointing.
Oscar-winning editing by our on-vacation colleague, Savak Melton. I mean, I think he's in Switzerland. We'll pull him out. We'll get him out. So, speaking of colleagues, I know our pal Drew has a question for you in regards to another young individual in camp, Preston Williams. Have you heard of him?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, I do have a question about that, but I want to roll back for just a second. And we do have to be thankful for one thing, right? We're all excited about Tua. We've been waiting for this for years. But at least we aren't Browns fans, where they go through this every 3 years with a top 10 QB. Every three to four years.
Imagine being a Browns fan going into last season with the expectations of having a video game offense, a young quarterback, Odell on one side, Jarvis, two good running backs, and have the bleep of a season like they did. That is a typical – that's what the Dolphin fan has felt like the last couple of years, except we haven't had expectations like that going into the season. So, yeah, you're right. We're not Browns fans, so I'm smiling about that.
Yeah, when the highlight of your season is one of your players hitting another player with a helmet, it's going kind of rough.
Right. That's not right.
But to jump back on subject, so – I guess Coach Flo was asked this morning during his press release about Preston returning punts again and said he would still be returning punts. They were going to load manage him because obviously he's coming back from an injury.
Right.
What are your feelings about Preston returning punts at this point?
As someone who loves Preston Williams and thinks Preston Williams could be a number one receiver for your team if he's healthy like he showed last year for a while, I'm keeping him as far away from punts as possible. The last thing you need is him in game one to return a punt in the third series of the game, tweak an ankle and can't play the rest of the game. And it wasn't because, Gilmore shut him down and, stepped on his foot or something. It's because he did it during a punt return. I know there were times the last, I would say 5-7 years that, when they needed to play, they put Jarvis in there, to try to, spark things up. And maybe that's the case with Preston. And I know that, you lost Albert, so you don't even have that option and whatever. No, I don't – that's something I don't agree with Flores. I don't know how other people feel about it. Maybe he is their best punt returner, which stinks because you hope that there's another guy that can kind of do that and just let Preston be the number one 1A, 1B receiver with Devontae, especially if both guys are healthy. I can't imagine with the confidence that Devontae is coming back with and Preston having just an unbelievable first part of that season last year is kind of fits his guy. I just want those guys to play receiver. Pay them 3 years to the receiver. Emergency situation, if Preston's your number one guy, you're down a touchdown with 140 left in the game. You need a little spark. You're going to get, the ball at your own 10. But unless someone, takes that punt back 20 or 30 yards, maybe in specialty situations, yes. But as the full-time punt returner, it's not something I would agree with as a fan or probably a media guy either, whichever hat I wear.
I got to jump in here real quick with that. Because I have what they would call an anxiety problem watching the Dolphins. And Preston Williams is a guy that I think I'm driving the bus, or at least shotgun of the fan club. And I can't see him returning kicks, Zach. It's a very nerve-wracking thing for me. It's the one thing that if I would ever say, I'm not a football coach, but what are you doing? That's it.
I think I agree with you. I agree with you. No, I don't get it. And like I said, maybe he is, in their eyes, in the special team's eyes, the number one guy. He's our best. He catches everything. He's going to run. He's going to get us 12 yards. That's great. But I just think the opposite of the benefit of that would be what happens if on a fluke play he gets hurt returning punts and not you know, running down the sideline for a 65-yard bomb from Fitzpatrick and gets tripped up and hurts his knee. That's, you're going to have that happen. It's the punt return stuff that kind of spooks me with Preston. Let him come back, from, let him be healthy, and let him have a full season, hopefully, with Devontae as the 1-1 and Gesicki in the middle. To me, that's, I mean, that's what you're asking for, and especially with a healthy Fitz. As long as Fitz stays healthy and he's the guy from day one, I'm totally fine with whoever else they need to. Even picking a guy up that's strictly a punt return guy or a kick return guy, I'm fine with that also.
I'd watch you return punts over Preston Williams at this point.
me too. What do you mean? I fair catch everything and it would bounce off my head, but at least you don't have to worry about me as a number one receiver. Right, I'm with that.
So moving on, you know, every time a player gets cut or their contract ends and they're a free agent, the fan base turns to, we should go sign this player. So we've got the latest AB candidate in Earl Thomas. And was just wondering kind of your opinions on that and how big of a fire that's going to be for whoever signs him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if he goes – I mean, the rumor is obviously, or the speculation is he'll go to Dallas. And Dallas, of course, at first, no, we haven't really talked to him. And then the report after this, well, we're waiting to talk to him until he officially gets released. He's going to be a Cowboy unless something goes haywire there. Listen, I think the Dolphins, I think that's one of their like deep positions. I believe it's safety at least at this point. Listen, do they have a superstar there? No, they don't. They do not have a superstar there. A couple years ago, maybe Rashad was close to that, but he's not even on the roster anymore. McCain, Rowe, whoever else they put back there, I'm okay with that safety combo. Bring in Earl Thomas. Maybe you make that defense better. Oh, no, I wouldn't even say maybe. It will make defense better. But at this point, I don't think it's worth bringing in a new guy here, switching guys around, unless there's a plan to make Bobby McCain the nickelback, and, like, that's the plan. If they tell me they have a full plan in place with Earl Thomas taking the spot for Bobby, Bobby going back to kind of that true position where I always thought he was, like, the nickel corner or the dime, whatever they want to put him, that would be fine. I just don't know if that's the plan. So I just think Earl Thomas at this point, like you said, anytime a guy gets cut that's got a name, Dolphin fans, Bills fans, 49er fans, Cowboy fans, oh, he would be great with us. It doesn't necessarily work that way all the time. And to be 100% honest, Earl Thomas, the last kind of two teams he's been on, there's been a little bit of a problem, a little conduct thing. Not that I'm saying that affects a guy's play on Sundays, but do you really want that in the locker room right now, since you kind of have a really, from what it looks like, a good locker room? You don't have any, you know, turds in the locker room, so what it seems so far. I don't know Earl Thomas. I don't want to call him a turd, but just from what you see, he might have a little turd in him. So at that point,
his wife might say that at this point.
Right.
We didn't say it. His wife might.
Well, he's had an interesting offseason. Right. He's had an interesting offseason. I just wouldn't. This is definitely a great example of one of those times where a guy gets cut and he can immediately upgrade your team, and he probably could the Dolphins. I just don't think it's worth it at this point.
Well, I mean, it's not – we don't let Preston return in punts, so I don't think we want him punched in the head on the practice field either.
That is also a great point, Brian. That's also a great point, especially if he does something wrong and Earl gets all mad at him. So, I don't know. I think if we're going to add a guy, let's find a dude that just can return punts and let Preston be 1A or 1B, and that's it.
Love it.
I'm 100% on board with that. Zach, one of my favorite parts of waking up every morning with you and Joe Rose is some of the stories he drops from the 80s of the clubs. I mean, there's literally times like I listen and get up, I take a shower, I'm listening. I've had to like stop the shower and like, wait, what did he just say? Has there any of those moments been on the show that just made your jaw drop, that any of the stories that really stick out to you?
I have been with Joe Rose for the majority, if not all, my radio career since 2002, outside of, I think about 3.5, 4 years, I was with Hockman and Crowder in the afternoons. The stories I've heard from him, from out at night, going to West Palm just because they got a good ladies' night there, heading out to Marathon because they found out they have an extra day off in between, and that's the good ladies' night. I have never heard stories. If they had video phones, this Dolphins team in the 80s, early 80s, late 70s, I don't know if they would have played a game. I think that whole team would have been suspended top to bottom for the stories. Joe has me cackling on a daily basis because sometimes he'll just remember something and I egg it on. Like when we have Nat Moore on and he comes on, of course, great ambassador for the Miami Dolphins organization and the community and everything. born and raised in South Florida, Gator, the whole deal. But when Nat comes on, the only thing I want to talk about is the fact that Nat Moore used to own a club, the Club Inferno, and Joe would never pay for anything. Nat was his best buddy. Right. Like, those are the stories I want to hear. How many times, Nat, did you or your girlfriend, who's your wife at the time now, have to either drive Joe home or make sure Joe had a ride home because there were no camera, there were no phones, you had to call for a payphone at that point. How many times was Joe so inebriated or just so out of it that he needed to have help to get home? And Nat always laughs because Nat knows when I get that first question off and I introduce him, hey, let's bring on Nat Moore from the Miami Dolphins, former Dolphin legend. Nat, tell me about Club Inferno. Like, I don't even ask him about the team or the players anymore. Every question has to do with the club. And then when we bring it up, you get on the text machine like 100 dudes that all saw Joe once or twice in the 80s at clubs in Miami or Broward. Fort Lauderdale was major, major partying back then. Up to West Palm, Marathon in the Keys, even in like Central Florida, when they used to play those basketball games, charity basketball games. And like, he was everywhere. Joe Rose with a gap tooth, all that stuff back in the 80s. Somehow, some way, was a ladies' man. I have to clap it up for him, but his stories are priceless, right? They don't have me laughing. I go to cackling at that point because I just cannot believe what I'm hearing at this time.
I have a specific question before that, and in our daily duty almost to really throw a little promotion for our buddies, the Fish Tank, one of the greatest shows that I've heard was the Jeff Darlington Show. And I'm paraphrasing here. It was a bit of a party that was thrown, and I'm paraphrasing. I'm just a messenger. Joe is there, and then kind of said, I can't run it to my kid here, or something like that. And to me, I was like, that's just the greatest thing ever. That's love it. And
the bangy dangy party.
There it is. Thank you. The bangy dangy.
The bangy dangy party was years ago. Jim Mandich, actually, we said it on our show a bunch of times, bangy dangy, because we were getting, you know, we didn't know what to say. We had to make up our own stuff to say because you obviously can't curse on the radio. And Joe was very close to cursing all the time. So I had to kind of like make up words. So we just came up one day, I don't know how it started, with bangy dangy. Darlington, we just nicknamed him bangy dangy because he was single back then, good looking kid. Like, he was Mr. Bangy Dangy. And then Mandich, for one of his touchdown clubs, did the like probably the greatest thing for the bangy dangy name ever. He, in the old Mandich voice, what goes on at a bangy dangy? Like, he dropped this unbelievable line. I used it every day on the show. I cut it up, put it on my machine. I dropped it all the time. And then we threw a bangy dangy party at Darlington's house. Joe was sponsored by Budweiser and Bud Light back then. He picked up cases of Bud Light Lime. We picked up booze. Darlington got poured a potty, he's a DJ, and we had a party on his front lawn, and we named it the Bangy Dangy Party. And at a certain time that night, I was with Greg Likens. Me and Greg went there. Greg is my partner on the show back then, and my partner in the control room. And we went to this party, and at a certain point, I looked over, and I saw Joe's kid, Garen, there. And I looked over at Joe. I'm like, Joe, Mike, you want to take a picture with your kid? And he goes, my kid's here? And he's looking around. And there he is. Joe's son showed up because there were tons of ladies at this party. There was all kinds of people at this party. Joe basically facilitated all the alcohol for this party because of all of our sponsors and everything, which is very nice of all of them. Thank you to all of our sponsors. And right, got to get that in there.
Nice. And,
Joe literally saw Garen, gave me and Greg daps, did this. Right, like I said, walked right out and drove home. And I was looking around. I'm like, God, I wonder why he didn't want to take a picture. And I'm like, oh, his kid. And then Darlington walks over and goes, what happened? Like, where did Joe go? I'm like, look right over there to the corner. He goes, oh, is that? I go, yeah, it's Joe's kid, man. Joe's out. Like, that's – it's checkout time when the kid shows up. If Matthew, my son is 2.5 now, ever showed up at a party that I was at, it's over. I'm out. I'm done. I don't care if I got 3 slips left in my booze or none. Goodbye. Have a nice night. Everyone drive home safe. Stay safe. That's it. Yeah, so the bangy dangy party still to this day. I think Darlington sent me a picture – I think it was like a month or two ago, he found of me, Greg, Joe, and him at the party. I was wearing an Anquan Boldin Cardinals jersey.
Wow.
To this party. Right. That's how far back it goes. Right. So that brings back great time. Speaking of the bangy dangy stuff, you want to talk about making a smile? You put a smile right on my face.
You don't have to answer by name. You could do so numerically. Did any Dolphin former player win the party?
Ooh, Dolphin. I don't think there were any Dolphin players at that party. How about that?
Wow.
Right. Okay. Like, I don't.
Well, one former one left quickly.
Right. You know what? I just lied to you. We had a former player at the party.
So he wins.
And he left once his son, right?
He won by default.
Right. So, so I would say that our former tight end, backup tight end, that was our winner of the party that night. But no other Dolphins came that night. I was actually expecting that to possibly happen because it was funny because we talked about it for months, like preparing for it. It was like topic of conversation for every guest that came on our show for like 2 months.
Diplomatic answer. Diplomatic.
That's my whiteboard material now from now on. What goes on at a bangy dangy party?
I wish I had the bite. I'm in front of my computer and I'm like, I'm almost ready to not look at you guys for a second and try to find it because I'm sure I have it somewhere. But that is one of the classic lines from a really, really, anyone that knows or has ever heard Jim Mandich, one of the classics from Jim Mandich right there. What goes on at a – and he did it at the Touchdown Club, that charity thing he did every week for the Dolphins. So that was even more – like, you had all the elite, like, Dolphin, like, alum and people that had donated money to the Dolphins Charitable Foundation. And the first question out of Mandich's mouth that day at Shula Steakhouse was, hey, Jeff – what goes on in a bangy dangy? And I died laughing, man. That was awesome.
That's fantastic. And the question I had was a Joe Rowe question. Now, for those who don't know, and I know you know, obviously, that Joe caught Dan Marino's first touchdown pass. Pardon if I don't know if this has already been told on any kind of show. Where's that ball?
For years, we busted his chops about it. He swears to this day he doesn't have it. He said the trainer got it. It's a cold case. I don't necessarily believe him. I think that ball is somewhere in a safe in his house, signed by Danny, underground in a special safe. I don't know. I don't even know. The truth is, I'm sure the Dolphins would want that if that was Danny's first touchdown pass. You know, the Dolphins would want that, or Danny would want that somewhere in his.
I didn't mean to touch a nerve if I do.
Right.
But
the maybe it financed some bangy dangy parties.
I would have it in a book bag with me at all times, and I would say, listen, I didn't do much as an NFL player, but that was Dan Marino's first touchdown pass in my JanSport. Look at that. Right there. That's what I would do every day.
Love it. Me too.
Zach, right? We know the heat are about to tip off, and I don't want to keep you too long, but before we let anyone go, I gotta get your outlook on the season. What are you expecting this year, maybe for record? Any chance of the playoffs with all the Patriots opting out? What's your thoughts?
You know what? I have to believe at this point that outside of the Jets, because the Jets are really stinky right now, outside of the Jets, any three teams, the Patriots, the Bills, or the Dolphins could win that AFC East. And I just think it all is the start of the season. I think if whoever starts kind of quick and kind of gets things going, I mean, obviously we have to think about COVID and the coronavirus and you never know what could happen in a locker room, you know, with 12, 15, 18 guys, or even just one guy if it's your quarterback goes out or your best player. But I do have to think if we're just talking about everyone's safe, they played the whole season. I like the Dolphins winning 9 games. I like them going 9-7 and fighting for that wild card. I like them being second in the AFC East behind the Bills. Somehow the Patriots are at 9-7 or 8-8 right behind them. It's going to come down to possibly – that first game of the season to see who wins that game to maybe who actually gets in the wild card in my mind. I think 9-7 is, I mean, listen, the team was 5-11 last year. And after the first couple of games of the season, I was shocked that they would win 2 games and they won 5. Flores likes to win. He doesn't like to prepare for the next season. I think if they catch a little bit of fire somewhere in that season, Fitzpatrick stays healthy, doesn't turn into Fitz tragic, which we really didn't see last year. I think 9-7 wild card. I think I don't think that's jumping too far at this point. They've upgraded every position on that team. There's no positions that are worse than last year. It's hard to be worse than last year at some of those positions. And guys are kind of healthy. Preston Williams is huge for that offense. Mike Gesicki seems like he's got a little bit of kind of this aura about him that, like, I am one of the better tight ends in the league. Just get me the ball. Fitz loves to throw it. I love the addition of the two running backs because obviously the running game is going to be better. Of course, the offensive line is the big question mark. There is a chance, I can't believe I'm saying this, that that three of the best five could be rookies on that offensive line. And if you start that, whoa, like I almost would have to come back for another podcast and say, I know I said 9-7, I really mean 7-9 because there are three rookies starting and you never know how that could go. The defense is better. If Xavien comes back, you might have the best cornerback tandem in the league or very close to it if he comes back healthy. I think 9-7 is not overreacting too much. Maybe some people think I am. Maybe some people think 7-9, 8-8 is more where they're going to be, a 2- or 3-game kind of jump from last year. I'm going with the full 4 games, and I'm going with fighting for the wild card. They might not get it, but they'll be in that hunt come the last week of the season if they make it there.
I love it. I may have some money on the over of 8, so okay. You make me happy.
So you love my prediction, right?
But it's weird, too, that you mentioned week 1 against the Patriots. That line has been 6.5 points right. when Stidham was a starter, before they signed Cam Newton, before all these Patriots opted out. Any interest in that, looking at that game, that week 1?
Yeah. Right. I think it's weird, and I think you said it right, that a team can lose what the Patriots lost, whether it was free agency and Tom Brady, or 7 or 8 guys opting out, or 6 or 7 guys leaving in free agency other places. And they're giving a lot of respect to Bill Belichick because they just think that Bill Belichick could take whatever he could find, you know, around the league. They still have a really good defense. I'll give them that. But that offense is going to take a hit. You lost Tom Brady. Cam Newton, I don't know how good he's going to be. Maybe Cam Newton's 2015 Cam Newton, and we're all going to be shocked. Or maybe he's a little bit worse than he was a couple years ago, but he's healthy, but the arm's not back to where it was. The shoulder's not back to where it was. I don't know. It's a weird line at 6.5. I would say at this point, if Fitz stays healthy, I would take the points in that game because I think it's going to be close, and I don't think it's going to be more than a 3-point game.
I agree. It always seems like these AFC East games recently are right. One possession, who has the ball. And, you know, we obviously, as Brian alluded to, we know you have the heat to get to. But, Zach, nice. We really appreciate this. You know, this was an absolute blast. We have a couple of bits of homework to do. I know I'll be traveling to Miami somehow to do the cold case reopening of the ball from Joe.
Right. Man.
So, and we'll also see if we can get you back here for that Tua jersey reveal, whenever that may be. So,
you got it. When he gets announced starter, just send me a message on Twitter. And tell me what night, where's the Zoom conference thing I need, the whole deal. And I promise, even if it's for 10 seconds and I'm busy, I will come on, I will flash my jersey.
Love it.
I will tell you how much I love you guys, and then I'll hang up on you. But that's what I'll have.
No worries. That's right. All we need. Right. So just tell everyone before we hang up on you where everyone can find you.
Joe Rose Show with Zach Krantz every day on 560 WQAM. If you're down here in Miami, radio.com app. If not, every Friday on the 560 Instagram live page, I do Krantz's Corner. You got that also. I just do kind of random conversations with guys that I'm friendly with. This week, unless he's traveling, Drew Rosenhaus is going to join me on Friday, which is nice.
Oh,
you always
great.
Have a good conversation there. And because we're all football nerds and we all probably like fantasy football, every Thursday night, Zach in the Nose does a fantasy football show live here in Miami, 6 to 8 p.m., unless there's a conflict and we're on Wednesday. But we're on every single week throughout the football season. Like I said, crossing my fingers, we're on every week of the season. We have 19 shows planned, so we'll see what happens. But there's a couple different ways to catch me each week outside of this podcast.
Fantastic. So best of luck to you. Be well. Go Heat. Go Dolphins. Go everything South Florida. And for obviously the other guys at the Fanatics Network, I'm Jason. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Drew. Thank you, Zach. Have a great night, everybody.
Fins up, Zach.
Fins up.
Well, that was Zach Krantz, and what a fun show, and a couple of little bits of information that I don't think really many people knew about both the Bangy Dangy Party and Dan Marino's first touchdown pass. So, Drew, is there anything that you took from that show and some of those little trinkets of information, training camp and Bangy Dangy?
I think just the what is a Bangy Dangy Party is going to stick in my mind for quite a long time.
We might have found our first Fanatics t-shirt. To make
what happens at the Bangy Dangy stays at the Bangy Dangy.
I mean, we shouldn't say it online because, you know, somebody could steal it, and we're stealing it already from Joe Rose. But yeah, the Bangy Dangy Party, there's more to come, more to be revealed. We do have to get back to one thing before we move on from tonight's show, is the releasing of rookie fifth round pick Curtis Weaver. So he was released today. It's a bit of a weird situation per Cameron Wolf. What happens with players that are non-vested, which means less than 4 years in the league? They can't be placed on IR until final cutdown day, which is not for another 2.5 weeks. So for Miami to put him on IR, he first has to clear waivers, which they put him on waivers today due to his foot injury that he suffered on Saturday. So if he clears waivers, he could still come back to join the Dolphins, be on IR, and redo his rookie season next year. So it's a bit of a weird situation already because we're down to 80 players with COVID. We're 10 less than normal. I think they kind of took a gamble on he probably will clear waivers, but hopefully it's not the last we've seen of Curtis Weaver. You know, definitely prayers and thoughts go out to his family. Be waiting your entire life for this and have a foot injury on a Saturday. So that's a tough loss.
It is. And Drew, if you have any other thoughts in addition to Weaver, putting my money on it, I think that he's going to clear waivers. I think that he's going to get back to the Dolphins because I think this is too good of a kid to let go. And as you said, Ryan, with a lot of other teams other than the Dolphins being kind of at capacity, I think that he's also a kid to do what you need to do to get on that roster, get him right, get him well. And you got to see what he can do healthy for your team because he's a heck of a player. But Drew, thoughts overall on a really fun, little time here with Zach.
It was a great show. I mean, Zach's just hilarious. There's no two ways to put about it. Plus, we made fun of the Browns, which is always good. But let me go ahead and just send us out and remind everybody to remember to subscribe to the podcast. Watch us on YouTube at youtube.com/FinAddictsNetwork. Follow us on Twitter at Fin_Addicts. The FinAddicts Network also has a hotline, so y'all call in and tell us your opinions. 786-309-7558. We'd love to hear you. We love the feedback, whether it's good feedback, bad feedback. You think we had a horrible hot take. You think we had a good hot take. You got a question. Anything you want to discuss. And while you're listening on Apple Podcasts, go ahead and leave us a review and 5 stars. And if you didn't enjoy the program, thank you for listening to the Zach Krantz Hour.
Well guys, done, my friend. And if Brian, you have anything to do to send us out of here, let us have it.
I think we're just all gonna go to a bangy dangy party. Everybody, fins up. Have a good night.
This episode brought to you in part by Thrive Fantasy, available in the App Store or Play Store, or by visiting their website, thrivefantasy.com. Use the promo code FINADDICTS when you sign up today, and you will receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more. Sign up and hashtag prop up today.